Tracy Bauer, and this is Gradcast brought to you by Syracuse University. In this episode, I'm delighted to have Caitlin Dawson Brown, an alumna from 2015, join me once again to talk about important mental health topics. Caitlin joined us on season one of the podcast last year, November 2020, to talk about self-care. In this episode, she's going to talk about self-awareness and self-compassion, two really important topics for you in your life, not only just for your career and professional development, but of course, your overall life quality. I hope you enjoy this episode with Caitlin.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Dawson Brown. I'm a licensed mental health counselor here in the Syracuse area, and I'm actually a Syracuse alumna as well, and my pronouns are she, her, hers. Thank you for having me back.
Yes, great. So yeah, Caitlin, you and I recorded a podcast last year and it was so well received that we wanted to have you back again to talk about self-awareness and self-compassion, because this is an area where I think so many people struggle, and especially our graduate students. So can you talk to us a little bit about what is self-awareness to get us started?
Well, so self-awareness, I mean, honestly, it's a simple but yet complex answer to that question. To me, it's really about having an understanding of who we are, what we're doing, and why we're doing it. That there's this level of mindfulness or thoughtfulness as it relates to who we are and why we do what we do. You know, so many of us just go about our lives, you know, sort of like on autopilot without really stopping to consider or wonder why. Why am I doing what I'm doing? What is it that's important to me? What do I value? Why am I engaging in relationships like this? You know, why does this one thing just really irk me? You know, why is it hard for me to feel close to other people? I think sometimes, you know, I see this with clients as sort of like this deja vu. They're like, why is the same thing keep happening to me? Why do I find myself in these relationships that feel exactly the same? You know, so we're complex creatures. I believe that most of, if not all, behavior that human beings engage in, that they're intentional in some way. Whether we're aware of it or not, we do things in our lives and we engage in relationships to meet needs that we have. The needs part is the thing that I think can be really beneficial around building awareness around. You know, the tricky part is that, you know, as human beings, we have blind spots. We can certainly start to slow things down and ask ourselves the question why, you know, slowing things down before we engage in some sort of behavior or this sort of deja vu thing. But I think this is where therapy and having, you know, support in that area can be very helpful, because we as human beings don't always see the why.
Great. Yeah. I think if anybody who's listening has ever started in one spot and either driven, walked, or navigated somehow to another spot and then realized, I don't remember actually navigating from spot A to spot B. You know, you may be a little less self-aware, a little less, you know, just focused on so many different things. And I think that self-awareness piece is incredibly important, not just for your mental health, but also for your life health, your career health, and things like that. So you mentioned a few things. But any other suggestions for anyone who wants to develop more self-awareness?
So like I said, you can certainly start slowing down things in your brain. I love the example that you just gave, Tracy. And this is something that I talk about with clients, is that, you know, like, have you ever gotten your car and driven home and then been like, I don't remember driving home, right? You just arrive at your destination. And that's because our brain really is very much like a map, right? And the roads that we use the most often, we don't even really think about it. So if I were to say, hey, Tracy, drive a different way home than you normally would, you'd be more aware of like where you're going, your surroundings, and things like that. So This is where, again, a therapist or someone in the mental health field can really be helpful at really objectively looking at the map that you use, like, and you becoming more aware of these roads that you're using sort of in a autopilot kind of way. Therapists are really trained to be like mirrors for us, really take a look at ourselves in a non-judgmental, safe environment. You know, the question is, why doesn't everybody do this? Why doesn't everybody go to therapy? Well, it can be painful. We don't always like to look at the things that we're doing and the underlying reasons for why we're doing that, or who we are, or, you know, sometimes past trauma or our experiences through childhood really influence how we engage as adults. And that can bring up a lot of shame, that can bring up pain, things that we actively don't want to feel. But the self-awareness that comes from this can really help you break some of these habits or these patterns in your life that are getting in the way of you really being able to this sort of ideal, evolved version of yourself that you know you're capable of being, but you're like, why do I feel stuck? Why do I keep doing these things? Look, human beings, we all really sort of boil down to the same stuff, the same sort of struggles, meaning most human beings are struggling with all the same kinds of needs. We want to feel safe. We want to feel loved. We want to feel appreciated. We want to feel seen and heard and valued. So these needs of safety, belonging, love, you know, we engage in behaviors in our life to try and meet those needs. And sometimes these strategies are just no longer effective, right? If the underlying need is to feel safe and not be harmed in any way, therapy can be sort of intimidating and scary in that way, right? Because it does include or involve to some degree feeling this pain or addressing the things that are getting in our way, becoming more aware, we could say, of the pain that we're carrying around.
Yeah, I think that's incredibly helpful. And, you know, breaking those habits, breaking down those routines. And I know for me, especially too, getting off of social media, for the people who only post their highlight reels as opposed to what's really going on in their lives, or remembering what does make me feel good and making sure that even if it's 5 minutes, you know, going for a walk outside or taking a break in the midst of, you know, for our students doing research or prepping for tests or projects or things like that can be incredibly helpful. Meditating, doing some sort of physical movement, I think can also be helpful for, you know, figuring out some needs and developing that self-awareness as well.
Yeah, I mean, that reminds me of the podcast that we did last year where we talked about self-care, really incorporating those things into your life. You know, one of the things that I hear sometimes from clients when I say sort of this cliche therapist thing, which is like, take care of yourself. And people are like, I don't know how. I don't know what, you know. And this is the I don't know part, which is the awareness that can be helpful, right? Because when you are more self-aware, how you're feeling, what works for you, you get a better understanding of what's going to nurture you and what's going to feel safe and be a self-care. Because everybody's self-care, if we want to call it that, looks different. So that's why self-awareness can also be really powerful, because it gives us information about self.
And I think that's also really important too. I mean, working in a career and professional development office, being self-aware has these added benefits of understanding what you need in a workplace or a supervisor or in your duties and responsibilities as well. So there is a way to translate it, although being self-aware for the sake of being self-aware is incredibly important without anything else on top of it. But it can bring more satisfaction to maybe your life as a student, maybe your life as a professional once you're done with your degree and moving on into the workplace. And having that self-awareness is incredibly important as you apply to jobs, look at different companies, go on interviews and describe yourself, describing your strengths, your weaknesses in different areas, which you're most likely going to be asked about by professionals in the field to help them to understand you. So our next question is, how can we help ourselves and others understand us better? So whether that's an advisor for a student or a partner in a romantic relationship, friends, family, any suggestions for how we might be able to help others understand us better?
Certainly we can do self-reflection on our own and asking ourselves these questions of, you know, who am I? What do I like? What are my values? What are my strengths and weaknesses? That in and of itself does require self-awareness to some degree. But again, like I said, we often have blind spots that we're not always able to see, you know, patterns or things that really make us who we are. And that's why I believe, again, that everybody really could benefit from seeing a therapist or going to therapy, because it's really going to give you a mirror. It's going to be objectively, you know, a person to objectively observe the things that we might not see. And I'm sure there's people out there that are thinking, I'm a pretty self-aware person. And then I'll say, you probably are. But here's the thing, we can be aware of the things we see. And a therapist can really help us become more aware of the things that we don't see, which is why I always recommend everyone see one. Let me say this, like I have this little robot vacuum, little Roomba.
And we have one of those too.
So I have it set to clean every day. Even when even when my rugs don't look dirty. And sure enough, every day it picks up a whole canister of dust and debris. Meaning just because we can't see it doesn't mean that it's not there. And a therapist is like a good vacuum, I guess. On the rug can help you bring about awareness to this. You know, with that said, you can do these things on your own. No, this is something that doesn't necessarily require a therapist. I think it would be helpful for everyone to see one. You know, but sometimes this looks just like sitting quietly with yourself and reflecting about your day. Looking at what happened that day and your feelings throughout the day and how those feelings that you had impacted what you did and how you engaged with a situation.
I think that's a good point because we get so many inputs from everything going on in the world, which is moving so quickly. So sitting by yourself, taking some deep breaths, you know, reflecting, whether that's writing or drawing or something like that, can really help you to understand and focus in. How am I feeling about what was going on today? And then, as you mentioned, what do I need? How can I, you know, make things a little bit better? What's missing? How can I refocus and become even more self-aware to help break those maybe cycles that aren't as healthy. So that's a really great point of really reflecting. And, you know, everyone is incredibly busy and it doesn't take long though. Maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes can be beneficial, you know, at the end of the day or the start of your day to understand that. I know definitely when I've had stressful days at work and I get home to my family, I really have to remind myself, oh, you had a stressful day at work. Things were very hectic. And so you need to take some deep breaths and be aware that maybe tonight we don't make dinner and I eat cereal and I need to just rest and lay down or read a book or do something if I can do that to refill my tank, you know, to re-energize me and not necessarily keep going at a pace that's not sustainable for that day. Because the day was stressful.
Mm-hmm. Like really about finding the balance that works for you, right? That when you get, you know, students especially, you guys have a lot going on in your life. You're going to classes, you're studying, you're doing work, you're on top of that. There's this whole other piece that, you know, is there, right? This the pandemic that we're in, and how stressful that might be for someone in a student situation where you're in dormitories and you're on campus, and you know that in and of itself is taking up a lot of space in your brain, whether we realize it or not. And there's only so much bandwidth that a brain can process and a body can process in a day. So I think it's especially important to really check in with self at the end of the day or midday or whatever works for you, and asking yourself, how am I doing? Am I okay? What do I need? And if you're sitting there saying, I'm not sure, then this is where I'm, you know, going to share with you that maybe going to the college campus counseling center and seeking out some support might be beneficial to you, because we can't change something that we're not aware of, right? Which is kind of full circle here, that awareness is powerful, because then we can start addressing or moving through or healing whatever is happening for us.
That's a really excellent point. And I think, so we wanted to also talk about self-compassion today and being self-aware and realizing things about yourself, whether that's through therapy, through quiet reflection on your own or other practices. You know, we can then maybe be hard on ourselves. So can you talk to us about what self-compassion is?
I think about self-compassion as really when we start to view ourselves as humans, the humans that we are, humans that are flawed, that make mistakes, that engage in things that are self-destructive sometimes. But that doesn't mean that we are any less worthy of love, understanding, and compassion. A lot of times in sessions with my clients, you know, I see them beating themselves up about something. You know, they have negative, mean thoughts about themselves, etc. I'm sure this sounds familiar to mostly everybody, because again, this is human. But I ask them oftentimes, is, would you say that to a child? And most of them would say, oh my God, no, of course not. I would never say that to a child. Like my rule really is, if you wouldn't say that to a child, it's probably not okay to say to yourself. Because truthfully, we can't hate ourselves into a version of ourselves we can love. Like, it's just not effective. So maybe trying some compassion and forgiveness and understanding for self might feel different, just like we would do that for a child.
I don't know what to say, because I'm just sitting here nodding at everything that you're saying, because it makes so much sense. And it's these concepts that are so incredibly important. And again, they kind of go by the wayside at some points in our lives, probably when we need them the most. I mean, especially when we need them the most. And one of the things that a lot of our students and graduate students in general and academics can experience is imposter syndrome. So can you talk a little bit about that self-compassion helping to hopefully increase our self-compassion and decrease our imposter syndrome or our fears about being imposters?
Similar to what I, you know, had just mentioned, was that we think that because we're adults, be successful, not struggle, etc. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret from a therapist. No one has anything figured out. Nobody. We're all just winging it. We're all just big kids stumbling around trying. That's it. I think imposter syndrome comes from this place that we need to have everything figured out, that we need to like not struggle. That expectation can really create a lot of self-doubt because we don't know what we're doing. and that we're sort of building the plane as we fly it, that that somehow equates us to having less value or having less to offer. Whereas on the contrary, I think that recognizing that we're human and that we're figuring this all out as we go means that we have value because we're humans. And everybody on the face of this planet has value and wonderful things to offer the world, regardless of whether they have it figured out or not. So it doesn't, I don't think it means that there isn't room for doubt, because certainly that's a, again, a human experience that we feel doubtful. But it also means that we in that also recognize that we still have value and something to offer. That's, for me, this idea of self-compassion comes from this place of recognizing that we're not perfect, and that's okay.
Great. I think that's a really important reminder. I remember struggling with working with some students in the past, and my director, who had had 40 years of experience, and I had maybe two or three, and I said to my director, gosh, I don't know if I'm doing a great job with this student. And he said, if you're questioning it, then you probably are, you know, because you care so much trying to figure it out and work through this. And it's okay to not, you don't have to have every single answer. It's okay. You just keep learning and doing your best and helping that student out. And that's what the goal is, you know, so that way they get the help that they need to help themselves feel better about their situations and become more aware and things like that. And we're not trained counselors like you are, Caitlin, but we also try to act like mirrors for students to understand, mm-hmm. you know, the job search or prepping for the interviews or networking events or anything, you know, identifying where they can improve and how we can help them build their confidence so they don't have this imposter syndrome complex happening.
Yeah, I love that, this idea that we can normalize for students that we don't have it figured out either, like sort of lowers this expectation in a way that Tracy's perfect.
Nope, not at all.
Caitlin's not perfect.
Yeah.
You know, I think that there's this misconception too that I see with clients that because I'm a therapist, that I'm perfect, right? I have perfect relationships and communicate perfectly and all these things. But I'm also a human. I'm not perfect either. And I think that that really can be helpful for clients and for, and it sounds like for your students as well, to really see that, hey, look, this person is successful adult, you know, working in this professional field, and they're still human. Look at that.
And I think the thing to remember too is that everybody started as a student. At least a lot of the people that students are networking with and the careers that they want to get into, everybody started at the same spot. They were sitting in classrooms throughout campus and the different buildings that, you know, our current students are navigating through right now. And they didn't always have this extra knowledge or these years of experience or these higher titles or, you know, companies that they run all on their own, that everybody started somewhere else, far from where they are. So mm-hmm. there's that whole journey and process to go through to get there.
And similarly, everybody was a kid too.
Yes. You know? Yes, it's true.
And yeah. Like I said before, we're all just big kids stumbling around trying to figure it out.
Absolutely. I know. I think that, so my first solo trip ever for a work conference was like just 5 years ago in my, you know, early 30s. And the whole time I was traveling by myself, I'm like, where is my adult? Who's letting me do this by myself? I flew to Chicago. I navigated the L. I got to my hotel and I said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did it. And, you know, I chaperoned students on week-long, you know, trips. And the first time I did it, I said, I am old enough to do this. I know enough to do this. And then midway through the week, it just, you learned a lot, you know, from doing it. And you're like, okay, I think I can do it. It's still stressful, or it's still like, you know, you feel a little like can I do this? Yes, I'm doing it. I'm in the moment. It's happening. And so those are some examples where I've been like, where's my adult? You know, who's helping to guide me?
Right. I need an adultier adult, please.
Yes. Yes.
To come help yes. me. Because yes, I'm not exactly. an adult, you know?
Yes. Yes.
I think we yep. all feel that way. I think that's, you're yeah. speaking to this really human experience of like, we all still feel very much like kids.
Caitlin, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today about self-awareness and self-compassion. And I'll include in our show notes the different resources on campus that you have available to you anytime that you need them and ways in which you can take steps if you feel as though you'd like to visit the counseling center or get some additional self-awareness or self-compassion practices in your life. So thank you again, Caitlin, for all of this information and all of these tips and advice.
So very welcome. It's truly an honor to be invited back to do this podcast with you and be able to share just a little piece of my thoughts on self-awareness. And I'm so glad that you're going to be sharing some resources as well for students, because I really want them to know, you know, as they're listening to this, they're like, okay, maybe I should go to therapy. What next? So Tracy, so glad that you're going to be giving the students those resources and who to seek out for some help if they're looking for it. So, but thank you again for having me. Mm-hmm.